an income tax. It's been declared unconstitutional here, but Seattle wants to do it, thinks it can. And yesterday, all 9 Seattle City Council members voted for a resolution to explore an income tax on households making more than $250,000 a year. That's just one idea. We don't have all the details yet. Supporters say the city could bank an extra $125 million a year with an income tax on high earners. The question is an income tax a progressive move to make the rich pay their fair share, or, like the Seattle Times says, a badly timed idea that hurts more than it helps? Let's talk about this, starting with Seattle Times opinion writer Briar Dudley. Welcome, Briar.
Hi, welcome.
Your newspaper doesn't seem to like this idea. You called it inopportune, another circus, a short-run show for their local audience, quixotic, and a beer bottle thrown onto the field during the ninth inning. What is wrong with getting rich people to kick in more? Doesn't the city need that?
Well, there's lots of conversation going on now about how to adjust the state of Washington's tax system. You have to remember, this is a state issue. It's not a local issue. That's where we're coming from, is that the legislature is in the ninth inning reference is really to what's happening in Olympia, where the House and the Senate are wrestling over big, huge, sweeping tax reforms. You know, two of the three plans on the table in Olympia right now will make Washington's tax system more progressive. You know, we've editorialized saying that a capital gains tax, for instance, might be one way that we can finally fully fund education in the state of Washington. And then along comes Seattle out of left field throwing this beer bottle out that is really a distraction. And it's, in a way, kind of pandering to the base. You know, it's the anti-Trump, Trump-proof Seattle measure,
okay,
which is fine. You know, everybody wants to do that. But is it really the time to go off in this direction when the state really needs help getting past this, you know, hurdle in Olympia to make the state tax system more progressive?
Okay, let's get into that. We also have here John Burbank with the Economic Opportunity Institute, a big supporter of a Seattle income tax. And John, are you pandering with a bottle of Bud in left field? What make the case for this income tax?
Well, Brian is correct in that we have a regressive tax system in our city and in our state. In fact, we have the most regressive tax system in the state of Washington of all the 50 states. And we have the most regressive tax system in the city of Seattle. So that means that we do not have the resources that we need to fully fund public services, goods and services. And it is true that the legislature is dealing or considering a capital gains tax, but that doesn't confront the number one issue that is holding us back, which is the fact that we don't have a progressive income tax. And what the city council has proposed and what we're going to be going forward on is a tax on incomes above $250,000, in full knowledge that this will be legally challenged. That's actually what we want. We want that.
It's a test case.
It's a test case. Okay, it goes to the state Supreme Court. It enables the state Supreme Court to review and reverse their decision from 1935 in which they disallowed a state income tax.
But Breyer is saying that the legislature is already considering a progressive capital gains tax and the Seattle Times is into that and that you're gumming up the works in Seattle.
It's good the Seattle Times is into doing a capital gains tax. We think that's a good thing, too. It is necessary. It is not sufficient.
Okay, so Briar, we may clearly make the case why it in any way hurts Seattle's cause, because that was the language in the editorial, was that this is hurts more than it helps. I understand you think that the legislature is already working on something progressive, but you seem to be saying this is a bad idea, Seattle. It's going to backfire.
Well, there's a couple things. One, the biggest argument that opponents have against a capital gains tax is that it's some kind of a Trojan horse, that it's will start out a narrow, limited capital gains tax only affecting the very, very rich and excluding houses and things like that, but then it will sprawl out and become a full-blown income tax. And really, the way this thing has come about, it started out as a capital gains tax proposal, and I think there were concerns that it was going to mess up the capital gains stuff in Olympia. So then it morphed into a full-blown income tax that validated the fears of the opponents in Olympia. And, you know, plus Seattle, you know, Seattle is a hard test case because I disagree a little bit that Seattle desperately needs the revenue for this stuff. Seattle has lots of money. Seattle is rolling in money. It's spending nearly $6 billion a year now. In fact, we had a story a week or two ago saying that it has so much money coming in from the Move Seattle transportation thing, it can't even spend all the money it's got right now. So then along comes Seattle saying, we desperately need this new tax source. You know, that's not really the best argument to make, I don't think. That's not the best way to start a statewide conversation about priorities and needs and spending and things like that.
Okay, so there are a couple different arguments there. That one was that the Seattle has enough money. Your first argument before that was, and I want to bounce that off John Burbank, who supports this income tax. John Breyer is saying that you are, think outside the Seattle bubble, that you are setting a flashing light to people who are wary, are skeptical that Seattle, what liberals really want is to tax even more and more of your income, not just capital gains. Are you sure that's not a strategic mistake?
It is not a strategic mistake. What we have is an upside-down tax system in which poor people pay about 17% of their income in state and local taxes every year, and wealthy people pay about 2.4% of their taxes, of their income in state and local taxes. So that means that if you are making $21,000 a year, you have to work into March in order to take care of your state and local taxes. And if you have income in excess of $500,000, you're all done paying the state and local taxes by January 6th. That's an upside-down tax system. It's also not very robust in terms of being able to adequately fund public services like, for example, Proposition 1B, which the Seattle Times supported about 3 years ago for universal pre-K. That funding from the bond issue, it ends in a couple of years, and there's going to need to be a new funding source, which will cost at least $60 million if the city wants to maintain its commitment to universal pre-kindergarten for four-year-olds.
Is that so, the pitch? Are there other things you want to tell listeners that an income tax would pay for that's not being paid for now?
Actually, what I'd like to talk about is the fact that we had Plessy versus Ferguson, which legalized racial segregation for 60 years in our country, and it was considered established law, and it was overturned in 1954 with Brown versus Board of Education. Well, now we've had for 80 years this tax system based upon a judicial decision, a 5-4 decision, which overturned a vote of the people in 1932 for a progressive income tax. And what we have is a tax system that discriminates against low-income and working-class people and people of color, and it's time that we overturn that. And the best way to do that is to get this the city of Seattle and the city council to push forward this ordinance, and that will be challenged, and that then will go to the state Supreme Court, and then the state Supreme Court can look at their decision from 1935 and review and reverse that.
Okay, Breyer Dudley with Seattle Times. Why couldn't, you know, some legal experts, including University of Washington law professor Hugh Spitzer, has told us that the modern state Supreme Court could very well interpret the state constitution differently from the 1930s Supreme Court. How can this be a waste of time? Maybe the Seattle gets the ruling it wants.
Well, that's an interesting conversation to have. And, you know, sure, Hugh Spitzer is really smart and understands that stuff pretty well. That Phil Talmadge, a former Supreme Court justice, disagrees. There's a good legal debate to be had there. I do still think that Seattle is the wrong messenger in this case, though. You know, if Seattle is so concerned about the lower and middle classes and the tax burden, then why did it pass 9 tax increases in the last 4 years? You know, the local tax burden in Seattle has gone up 22% just in the last 2 years, and Seattle's just been on a bender.
John's right here. John, why Seattle seemed to be okay with raising those terrible regressive taxes?
Well, let's talk about that. So Seattle is a really good place to start if you consider that Seattle passed a paid sick days ordinance, which is now statewide law, and the Seattle passed an increase in the minimum wage, which is now statewide law. So it seems like Seattle is a really good place to start when you want to move forward progressive measures. Well, that's what we're doing this.
Well, Seattle's a good place for people from outside to kind of use it as a sandbox for these things. But, you know, if you just step away from all the policy discussion and you look at what's hurting people in this community, what's making it unaffordable to live here, what's hurting the cost of living, really the local tax measures are a big part of that.
But aren't the policymakers saying these are the taxes we have?
But they're not, in 2010 when we talked about an income tax, there was an interesting proposal that came out for a high-level income tax, but it was accompanied with cuts in other taxes. So it really was progressive.
What about John?
Is it just more, more, more?
That was a good proposal.
What about a revenue neutral like that, right, that will raise the tax here and we'll lower it over
so
here?
So, for example, the sales tax in Seattle comes out to about $250 million. We could abolish that if we had a pretty robust income tax starting at about $250,000. That is definitely possible.
What about
going
after businesses?
What's driving the housing prices, though, is really the market. It is not taxes on it's not property taxes. It's the market itself.
Okay, separate from the real estate market, is there a way, couldn't Seattle raise more taxes on businesses instead of trying to start up a tax that may or may not be constitutional?
Well, of course, the city can raise any kind of taxes it wants on businesses. The problem with the B&O tax is that it, too, is a regressive tax. So small businesses pay about twice as much of their gross revenue on the B&O tax as large businesses like Amazon. So we have a situation in which not just the taxes on people, but the taxes on business are very regressive. So when we talk about, oh, we'll just raise the business and the B&O tax, that hurts small business, and we don't want to do that.
Okay, so Breyer, you have said it's the wrong time for an income tax. When's the right time?
Well, I don't know. Let's have a conversation about it. You know, King County Assessor John Wilson's trying to do that right now. He's rounded up a bunch of former governors. He's trying to begin kind of a statewide salon where we consider how we can make our tax system better, more reliable, more resilient, and less of a burden on particular groups of people. And let's do that. But, you know, having you know, big, strong, powerful political groups come into Seattle and get them to do their will isn't really a way to do it. Seattle really doesn't have the
leadership. You're blaming outside agitators?
Well, you know, honestly, this is large labor organizations are sponsoring this. And
what's wrong with that?
Well, you know, it's fine. Although if one was cynical, one might think that Seattle has tapped out the homeowners, property owners, businesses with various taxes, and to continue increasing its spend, it needs to tax somebody else.
Okay.
And so that we have a cumulative addition of new taxes, and nothing's being reduced.
Exactly,
we have 1 minute left. Breyer got the first word. John, what's the last word?
Well, the last word is that's exactly right. This is taxing someone else. It's taxing the people who have not been taxed yet. So it's taxing the very wealthy. And in terms of outside organizations, we all live in Seattle. So this is just sort of a joke. I guess the most important thing, though, is that we can talk all we want. We can talk about having a statewide salon of ex-governors to discuss progressive taxation. But what is in front of the city council and the people of Seattle is actually an action that we can take to remedy and to rectify the regressive tax nature of our city and our state.
John, I must go. That is John Burbank, who's making the case for a Seattle income tax, and Breyer Dudley with the Seattle Times. And we have been talking about a test case with the city putting out a proposal for an income tax, and we'll see where it goes through the courts and otherwise. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
KUOW's The Record.